Rabbi Boyside, lessons for the lay. Parshas Ve'eschanan. Can you hear me in the back? You can hear me in the back, yeah? Okay, good. Shabbos Parshas Shabbos Nachamu. Nachamu Ami. A later edition. And that edition, I'll be honest with you, I know this is surprising. This is a scoop, as Sivan Mahir Meir likes to say. Yishanu scoop ayom. It's a scoop. And the scoop is that sometimes I do this alone. So I thought I was going to do this one alone, and then I heard there's a PKKK, and I was very excited. So Baruch Hashem, thank you very much for attending, so that I don't have to do it alone. It's very weird when I have to do it alone. So I think I have a beautiful idea, which very much relates to kind of where you are and where I am. I think we all, I hope, have this post-Tisha B'Av, I don't call it blues, because you should be happy, and it's very strange to go into a Tisha B'Av and then Motzi Tisha B'Av already, like showering and listening to music. Usually you do that be'isser, and you're just like, I just have to take a shower, you know, like I have to listen to some music, you know. So it's pretty remarkable, this quick change. I don't know, I think it's obvious to everyone, like we feel different, like we just feel like, oh God, that was a hard 3 weeks, not realizing nobody wants to talk about, you know, that in, you know, 2 weeks and a few days is that whole, okay, don't say anything. But there's a direct correlation to that. So in the parsha tells us, "As Yavdil Moshe Shlosh Arim Be'Eiver Hayardin, Mizracha Shemesh." So Moshe Rabbeinu, as we know, of course, it's the end of his life. The truth is, Matos Masei already tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu's last mitzvah that he's going to do, which is very interesting, is the mitzvah of Ari Mikla. And now it tells us this again, Azyazil Moshe. And we have to understand the Lashon. And already the Rashi already picks up on the Lashon of Azyavdil Moshe. Right? Azyavdil. This is something obviously he will not be able to complete the mitzvah because the Ari Miklat will also be established in Eretz Yisrael. So let's understand a few very important and interesting things about this. A few Maimorim. Based on this pasuk, number one. So the Das HaKeni in Bali Toisves says Az Yavdil, Az Loshon Shira. We know Az, of course, to be Az Yashir, and generally the word Az says the Das HaKeni is Loshon Shira, Kamo Az Yashir, Kiki Shamusha Amar Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So he says that when he heard this idea, when he heard that there would be an Ari Miklat, there was great simcha in Klal Yisrael. Because Klal Yisrael thought that if you intentionally killed somebody, you're chayiv. And if you unintentionally killed somebody, there's nothing we're going to do about it. And they created this unbelievable concept that you still have to go to the Ari Miklat. And as we know, the Ari Miklat, you brought your Rav with you, stomach, because you didn't. The Rav didn't teach you appropriately, right? One of the fundamental points, I know this is I say this over and over again, but I probably never said this to you. Rav Goldbach loves to speak about this idea. He loves to speak about a few weeks before Elul, we could speak about it again, that why is it that the last mitzvah that Moshe Rabbeinu does is Ari Miklat, and it's repeated again and again. What's so important about it? So as you notice, that there are many, I don't know how to say it, I don't know either way, acrostices of Elul. Right? Most famously, Anila Dodi Vdodi, I don't know what's a better way of saying it. Things that it stands for, what? Right? Roshei Tevos, yeah, would be the Hebrew word for Elul. Right? It's the only month that has so many. We have Adar, Ani Hashem Rofecha, Iyar Zash, Ani Hashem Recha, Aleph Dar Hashem. Okay, fine. But Elul, everybody knows. Anila Dodi Vdodi Li. Anybody know any of the other ones? Anila Dodi Vdodi Li, that's the most famous one. Elul, come on. So the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch gives, and he says, Ani l'dodi v'dodi li. He gives that one. Ish l'reyev matonos lev yonim. Umol Hashem es lavavecha. Ve'ezarecha, we said last week. But then he writes the Koteris, but the Arizal says, you know what the number one is? Ino l'yodo v'samti l'cha. It's actually from Parshas Mishpatim. Parshas Mishpatim, which is the first Parshas that speaks about the Ari Miklat, that's the koteris of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. What the Arizal says is the most important one, which is, of course, surprisingly not used. We love Ani L'dodi V'dodi Li. It sounds much better. I am to my beloved, and my beloved is me. This is the month that we approach the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. It's great. It's true. And Elul is going to come, and the hachana, I think we may have said this before, the hachana for Elul is actually Av. It's actually the month that we say, wait a minute. First, we have to want a relationship with the Rebbeinu Shalom. That's what Av is all about, wanting the relationship with the Av. And hopefully we were mitaking that a bit. And then Elul is like, okay, now I'm here. Now I want the Ani Dodo Divido relation. But on top of that, there is the Inul Yodov something. What's the Inul Yodov something? It's a reminder of us not being careless. Probably, I hope everybody here, that our number one biggest challenge in life is careless errors. Not intentional errors, careless errors. Right? We don't remember to set ourselves up for success. What is going to happen if I'm up all night? I go to sleep at 3 in the morning. So your shachris obviously is not going to be. That's careless. You were careless with yourself, right? You give yourself only 15 minutes to make it to shul when you know it's 20 minutes. And you get there and then there's traffic. Oh, ways. Oh, you never. And you miss Meir. It's careless. The person who killed unintentionally, like if you picture the person, the boar versus a rabbin, and he didn't put out enough signs, he didn't want to kill somebody intentionally. It wasn't what his point. He didn't put a gun to his head. But that shows that you don't care about anybody else, and that's probably the essence of all that is tshuva. Our lack of caring for other people, or lack of caring for their bundeshah. So that's why, in its essence, we have this. But it comes along the Dasakenu of Balei Tosfos again, and says something that's quite fundamental. That B'nai Yisrael was happy that there was a trufa for this. There was a machla, it was called unintentional death, and the Rebbeinu Shalom found this great way to correct it. So comes along the Das Akeni Balei Tosfos, and it says that there would be a way of kapara le'adon. As amu shira hainu, da amri inshi. He says, Baruch Hashem, mi yachol atav shil yodea tamo, kach moshet raka mitzri. So then he says something very, very strange, which the Medrash says as well. And you know who understood the taste of this? Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was the first person to, seemingly, well, give me a second, to unintentionally kill somebody when he killed the Mitzri. Moshe now reassures them and he says, you're right. If you're negligent in your mitzvahs, there's a way to get out of it. Not only do you run to the Ari Miklat, right? You run there. Rav Goldbach says this beautiful idea that the Rambam, when he's talking about Yemos HaMashiach, he explains that when Mashiach comes, there's going to be an Av Yadil Moshe moment again. Mashiach is going to start establishing Ari Miklat again. So he says, you know, when we go to Eretz Yisrael, we often laugh when we're on, you know, Highway 1 and we see the funny signs that have been transliterated into English. You know, it doesn't say Petach Tikva, it says Petach Tikwa. You know, Newe Daniel, you know, like all these funny signs, you know. And one of the signs it's going to say is Ari Mikla. Why? Because when you're speeding on the road and doing 180 kilometers, I could tell you, Baruch Hashem, actually, tonight, I should have mentioned this, tonight is the anniversary of me moving to Eretz Yisrael 14 years ago. It's great simcha. I used to remember about it. I used to say halal. I'm not with the bracha, but I used to say halal. So shevach vayidot to Baruch Hashem to be able to live in Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem. Unfortunately, we're not there right now. But for 14 years, this is our 14th year. So imagine, right? So I drive a car that's only in kilometers, obviously. I have no idea how fast. I don't know. I don't really know. I'm sorry. I don't know how to convert it. Okay, so hopefully you're not doing 180 kilometers. Yep. And now you see a sign that says, Ari Miklat. What does it remind you of? Maybe I should slow down, because if I unintentionally kill somebody, right? I get into a car accident, maybe that's intentional. Mahalacha. But I know where I have to go. So imagine we're going to have a life, because it's a little bit strange, because in the stomach there won't be death. But it will remind us, be careful what you do. There are repercussions for what you do. But what's this statement of the Dasakenu Balei Tosfos? A very strange statement, which the Midrash repeats. It reminds us, what do you mean the unintentional death of the Mitzri? It wasn't unintentional. He used the Shem Mefarsh to kill him. Right? It wasn't the situation where he was so upset with the Mitzri, he gave him a whack, and it, you know, loud deal. You see this on the internet sometimes. Wow, that guy gave him a whack, falls on the floor and dies. That's not what I meant to do. I'm so strong, you know? I remember in yeshiva once, before your time, but one year, my last year I ever did this, they asked me to do the Purim Spiel, So I did it with Rav Allen the Shabbos before Parsha Zachor. There's a mukubal thing that the Rabbeim, they make fun of the students, they make fun of the Rabbeim. So that's what we were doing. So we did this thing called Shark Tank, right? Mm-hmm. Where guys presented things, whatever. Okay, fine. I can't tell you after when we shut off the tape some of the presentations what they were. So at one point it wasn't getting so funny. So Rabbi Allen says to me, "Let's pretend we get into a fight or something. That will be funny." So we start to get up, and he pushes me. I push him back, and I fake punch him. Unfortunately, it wasn't fake. He fell on the floor, and his nose was bleeding a little bit. He said, I'm fine. Turned out, I broke his nose. A few weeks later, I was playing basketball with the Rosh Hashiva. This is also true. And he was blocking me. We were going up for a shot together, and he came down on top of me, and I broke his wrist. So, like, don't mess with me, okay? Don't mess with me. Anyway, unintentional. Nobody died, thank God. So what does it mean? What is the Das HaKeni of Bala Tosfos? What does this unintentional have to do with anything? So, and again, the Medrash Rabba says exactly the same thing. I'll read you the Lashon of the Medrash Rabba. Not that it matters, but it's mamish the same thing. So again, Moshe reassures them that there's a way to atone for doing something negligent. You go to the priest, we know, obviously, until the Kohen Gadol dies. And they broke into song out of relief. Now, the Medrash Rabbah changes it a little bit. He says it's Moshe who was saying the Shira. Because Moshe was bothered by something for years and years, it seems. That he killed unintentionally the Mitzri. That's what he writes. Ma ra Moshe li tein nafshel al Ari Miklat. What does he care so much about Ari Miklat? He's not going to be able to do it in this complete form. Amar Rabbi Levi, mi ochel satavshel hu yodea tamma. He knows what unintentional death is, and he knows that there was no kapara for it. Ketzad sharag Moshe sa Mitzri. Yatzah biyom hasheni. Umatzah ledosin viavirum. Avirun zazah. Shenemro viyatzah biyomu b'sheni. What's going on over here? And one last question, just to put it in our minds, is the Pnei David. The Pnei David says, "Efshel rameis l'samach v'zoy satori l'olim miklat." A few psukim after, when we conclude this section, we say one of the most famous psukim, or it's become the most famous. V'zoy satori shesamosh l'amnei shel. Every time we list the Torah, those that listen to the word of my wonderful son, the Bar Mitzvah boy, Mazel Tov Tim. When the Torah was lifted, it was a year after, by the way, we made Aliyah, a year after Mamash, almost to the day, that Yonatan was born. So we're like, we did our, so now he's celebrating his Bar Mitzvah, 13 years, but we lived there for 14 years. Right? So whether you point with this finger or this finger, we give the cute vorts on that. What's the Vizayas Torah doing over here? Every time we lift the Torah, we point to the Torah, and what are we talking about? So yeah, some of them, unfortunately, want to say, no, it's talking about the Torah itself. But listen to the Peshat. Comes the Ksav Sofer. If you remember, we quoted the Ksav Sofer this week. With the Bar Mitzvah Vort, and an amazing discussion with Rav Goldwacht. Somebody told me in the Kolel, he gave the same shir that I gave. So he happened to comment, he says, I don't know of anyone who has this situation, but, and I came to say, my son's Bar Mitzvah, and then he went crazy. He's like, your son's Bar Mitzvah's on Tisha B'Av? Because you have to, he has to get an Aliyah. So he wasn't ready to do the Haftorah, and it was too difficult. So if you're here for Shabbos, I don't know if you have any PPKK guys stay for Shabbos. It's just Shabbos, Mr. Shem, we have a Kiddush over here. So, Ksav Sofer, which we quoted, the Sofer, you try to keep it on a few more days. Kiddush, okay, I'll stay. So, not going to be a Farkas Kiddush, but okay, five-star Kiddush. So, comes along the Ksav Sofer, the son of the Chassam Sofer, and he says as follows. And here he quotes the Chovos HaLevavos. Chovos HaLevavos, and this is Mamash, the integral part of this year. One of the hardest things that we deal with in life, one of the biggest challenges is one word. It's called hishtadlus. How much hishtadlus do I need to put in for something? Moshe Rabbeinu questioned his hishtadlus. Because what did Moshe Rabbeinu do right after he killed the Mitzri? He looked Ko and realized, I'm going to get in trouble. And he ran away. He didn't just run away. I mean, ein ir miklat gadol mizu. He wrote to Jethro, the king of the priests, of Hodazara, and he puts himself there. Yes, a good thing happened at the end, of course. He found his wife. It was from that the burning bush, he saw, he became the leader of Klal Yisrael. But his entire life, he had a question. Did I do the right thing or not? If I believed in the Ribbono Shel Olam, I should have stayed there. Why didn't I stay there? I believe in Hashem. Why didn't you stay there? God would have taken care of me. Didn't I show a lack of emunah in the Ribbono Shel Olam? This reminds me similar of Avram Avinu. His commandment of one of the Esser Nisyonos of Avram Avinu was Lech Lecha L'Aretzach, of course. And then he gets there, and what happens right away? Vahi Ra'av Aretz. He's like, come on, Hashem, you told me to go here, now let's do it. And he goes to Mitzrayim. So some Mefarshim say that there was an Echet over there, that he shouldn't have gone to Mitzrayim. That was a test. Maybe he shouldn't have gone to Mitzrayim. Maybe he should say, Hashem will provide. The whole Chet of the Meragim, the essence of it, was a lack of a moon in the Ribbono Shel Olam. So Moshe Rabbeinu wondered the question that we all ask ourselves, says the Chovos HaLevavos, how much Hashkadlus do I have to do in my Emunah versus Emunah? Right? You can't sit back and relax and say, right, the Rosh Kailul can't sit back and relax and say, no, Hashem will provide. I don't have to go to law school. Hashkadlus, not an easy Hashkadlus. It's not an easy Hashkadlus probably to go out to, God knows where you went, to Oxford. I just went the weirdest, when we went from the shul, when we davened Mincha at 7:15, not my roof, in Syracuse, I don't know why, it took me, this is the second year in a row, it took me back, not on any highway. We went through Woodstock. I never heard of these cities in New York. Went through all these things. So my wife and I kept commenting, seeing these homes. Who lives here? Like, it's just the weirdest. I mean, this, okay. Hishtadlus is a very big question. Moshe Rabbeinu's question was answered. Right there. How is the question answered? Moshe Rabbeinu's question was answered through... Moshe Rabbeinu's question was answered very, very succinctly. Moshe said, I did the right thing. Ari Miklat is not only halacha l'maisa if you unintentionally kill somebody. No. It's a question of ishtadlus versus emunah. And usually, they are connected to each other. It's the heart. I'm telling you from my own experience. The Chassav Sofer says that Moshe Rabbeinu got a simcha, an az yashir simcha. What was his simcha? Of saying, ah, I realized the trufa came. I was involved in this. Not that I killed him unintentionally. I knew I was supposed to kill him. Shem Mefarish. But I thought that maybe I did something that was wrong. Ah. Ah. This is the idea. As Yavdil Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu, and maybe, that was the exact reason why when we lift up the Torah, we point to the Torah, we say, ah, we say the Zoyis HaTorah. Yes, then Reforshim saying the notes, talking about the Pesukim later, about the Torah itself, but maybe it's talking about this idea. Not that we ever unintentionally, we don't, hopefully. I once had a situation with my father-in-law, I almost killed him, would have been unintentional, my wife would have ran after me to kill me, it's true. We were putting up shutters, and it was very hot outside. My father-in-law insisted that I do it, and I had a drill in my hand, and it was very hot. And the drill dropped out of my hand, and obviously the first thing you say is "Look out!" And I didn't say anything. Obviously, it's my father-in-law, so I didn't care. And it hit him in the head, and his head, like, you know, and he needed to get stitches. Okay, I didn't do it intentionally. What happens if, God forbid, something really happened? You know, so that's true too. But maybe the pointing to the Torah says "V'zayis haTorah." I need to do a shtadlus. Right? Guys often say, I don't understand, Gemara doesn't come easy to me. You know why? Because you go to art school and you look at the page. Yeah, of course Gemara's not going to. This is a big shiloh. I know one of, I don't want to say my friends, but someone used to come to one of my shurim, somebody from the Bergenfield area, who was very influential in starting art school. He says he was very close to Rav David Feinstein. He was a Talmud of Rav David. And he said that when Rav Moshe gave the Haskama to art school, it changed. People wanted to burn it. They wanted to burn it like the Rambam, like the books we read about it in Nebuch in the Kinos. So this is the worst thing. Why would they think that? And obviously we know it's become one of the greatest things that have happened, is Daf Yomi. My son told me such a beautiful story. So my son's in the middle of nowhere, guarding Klal Yisrael, right next to an Arab village. And the closest Jewish town, I never heard the name before, so I won't be able to repeat it, is a very chiloni town. It's about 90% Nebuch, not religious, and of course, 10% are Haredim. And there's a gorgeous picture I'll show you after of my son sitting and learning at a table like this with a bunch of Haredim. with a bunch of army soldiers together. And he said, Abba, I have to tell you something. They were learning Daf Yomi. And we were able to talk in learning. With me, with this Haredi guy who I have nothing to do with, we were able to talk about a sugya. It's beautiful. Daf Yomi is it. But sometimes the shtadlus versus the amun is a big question in life. And I don't have the good answer to this, right? It doesn't mean chas v'shalom, and this is important, and maybe that's the v'zoi satorah. Don't do too much of stuff. Sometimes our shtadlus says, okay, so I'll steal. I'll lie and I'll cheat. That's my shtadlus, right? The Rebbeinu Shalom only gave Nebuch, only, I live in Teaneck. He only gave me $250,000 a year. I can't live on $250,000. It's like shocking to me. Like, Israelis can live on 250,000 shekel a year, like easy. Like, they live on like 50,000 shekel. I was like, it's crazy. But it's true, it's MS. So they're going to do this deal and that deal. Shh. That's not the shtals I'm talking about. That's obvious. V'zoyus HaTorah becomes so powerful when we lift the Torah up and we talk about the Ari Mikler. Because Chassav Soifah says it's an idea of a shtadlus. Moshe Rabbeinu saying, ah, I did the right thing. I did the right shtadlus. I should have ran away. It wasn't a lack of a moon in the Rabbeinu Shalom. Amen. Two. So that's the lesson, Rabbi say. The lesson is that we are connected to the Rabbeinu Shalom. This very interesting time is connected to each other. Don't think it's not connected. Okay? Shabbos Nachamu, now we have 7 weeks of Nachama. We only had 3 weeks of Avelus, Haftaris. 7 weeks of Nachama. Don't you think for a moment that Elul should trump this? Obviously the Parsha should trump it, number one. The Parsha doesn't trump it. And Elul, Tshuva doesn't trump these weeks. During Elul, we'll be doing Nachama. Because there's a Nachama to the fact that we tried our best. We didn't rebuild the base of it. But hopefully, we did a tikkun. We did a shtadlus. There are things we mamish can say I took upon myself to get closer to the Rabbeinu Shalom. Maybe like Rabbi Reisman told us a few weeks ago, we said a few extra words we have more kavana for. I don't think he meant only for the 3 weeks. For the whole year. Hamachazir shekhin also letzion. Whatever. A few words. That's the idea. Shtadlus of Rabbeinu is a very hard thing, but as we take ourselves, and this is the hardest time. Nebuch, you have a few friends who may have gone today and left. And they're going to have a big challenge the next few days, the next few weeks. They're getting ready to go to Israel maybe, or they're starting a new chapter in their lives, wherever they're going to go, YU or whatever. But then the next 2 weeks, where are they going to be? It's the summer. This is it. This is the biggest vacation time. You have no idea the chizuk of having a kolel now when all of Klal Yisrael stopped learning. It's been his mom. Everywhere. Ben Azman, this is it. These are the trips. It's a very hard time for Klal Yisrael. This weird 2 weeks before Elul now creates it. Don't miss the opportunity. Every time the Torah goes up, remind yourselves of the Ari Miklat. I'm not going to be an unintentional Jew. I'm going to be intentional in everything that I do. And I'm going to try my Hishtabas the best. A person who works in 5 minutes late to davening, he's not putting his Hishtabas in. Sorry. A person who's tired, he's not going to listen to the shir. He's not, right? A person who listens to a shir, okay? And he doesn't take notes, for example. You're not listening to a shir. No offense to anybody who does this, because I do the same thing. You put the shir on 1.5. You want to get through with the shir. So you hour shir now, oh great, you're a big tzaddikim now. You're not doing the right thing. I'm not saying you have to listen to it in 1.0. Or sometimes as a joke, I like to listen to shir in 0.5. Like look at these, all of these Rosh Yeshiva are drunk. In this week's part, you're like, it's fine, a little before Permitir. But give yourself a chance. Some of the Shiva have to listen to 1.25. Okay, yeah, let's move on. Let's get to the point. I get it. But we have to do a shtadlus for every success in getting closer to the Rabbeinu Shalom. We should be zeichet to that. Rabbi Isai, in this wonderful PKK, and realize what tremendous. But what you're able to do, the guy, I know, may think this is a joke. It's not a joke at all. You're literally holding. This is Klal Yisrael. It's right on. I'm sorry to scare you. There's no, the learning is not the same it is during the year. These are the hardest weeks at Klal Yisrael. It's Ben Azmana for everybody. But he's on vacation. Don't be on vacation. And those that are on vacation now, don't be on vacation now. Commit yourself to the Hishtadlis. Right? It's like the guy that goes on vacation. He's like, oh my God, I have no sarim. Bring a sefer with you. The guy's going to wait online. God knows somebody just started. My wife on the way back was telling me about a post somebody did about waiting Nebuch Lo Aleinu, the Jerusalem, disgusting, the consulate. They waited 3 hours. They waited online. They had an appointment at a certain time. 3 hours they waited after. Did you take a sefer with you? Did you download a shiur? Whatever. Because in the consulate, they don't let you bring anything in. They're like crazy about that. You don't let you bring anything in. So how to bring a sefer? Should be zoicha to get these messages in Amir Tzashem. Be zoicha to only besorah service for all of Klal Yisrael. Hopefully, B'nai Yisrael should be protected, and this very, very delicate ceasefire should be a complete ceasefire. Hashem should protect our soldiers and protect all of Klal Yisrael. And we should be zoicha to show Hashem that we're doing hishtadlus on the highest level. And as Rabbi, I think it's the greatest line I ever heard. I never heard this line. Be as goel tzedek mehei Rabbi Yameinu Amen. We're going to have to say this until Mashiach comes, and I don't know what we're going to say afterwards, but okay. We should be zoicha that to bring the gula shlema mehei Rabbi Yameinu.